Good to be with you guys this morning. My name is Micah Vandover. If I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, most of you I feel like I know. I always feel like I'm coming back home to family when I come here. My wife and my three girls, we live in Los Angeles, and every time we get the opportunity to come back to San Diego, especially come back to the Anchor Church, it's always refreshing, and I always look forward to it for the weeks coming up. And I'll tell you this, my wife and her family, they have been sitting under the preaching and teaching of your faithful pastor for coming up on almost two decades now. Isn't that amazing? What a faithful man just proclaiming the gospel. I know what it's like to prepare a message and what it takes, and I just look at every pastor and I go, wow, I can't believe you do that day in and day out. Your faithful pastor, he's been teaching and preaching for all these years. And I remember when my wife, she was saved at a pretty early age in her about 10, 12 years old. And she got saved at Forest Home. And the first church that she ever heard about was Rick's. And so she came to hear Rick's teaching. And so she told her parents, you got to drop me off at this church. This is what we do. And her parents would get up. They would drive her to church, drop her off. Then they would leave, go run errands, go to the coffee shop. And then they'd come back around and pick her up. I'm just thinking about that. I probably wasn't supposed to share that. But just a little bit of inside a family secret there. So they would drop her off. And then over time, Alicia would continue coming home and telling them what she learned. And God got a hold of their hearts. And they started coming. And they started faithfully attending. And I'm so thankful. I'm just thankful for your pastor, who's a faithful man of God. I'm faithful for this church, for all of you continuing to show up, and showing up's half the battle. And this is the first day of the week. We get to celebrate with the Lord. And I'm thankful to open up the Word of God and preach to you. This is going to be the heart of the gospel. Can't wait to get into this. Let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer, and we'll dive right in. Father, we take this time and we turn it to you as part of our corporate worship. And how encouraged are we already by these great songs that we have sung? And God, as we are the body of Christ, many members, but one union. God, thank you for creating what you have. And we look out and we see the whole universe, the world, a country, a state, a city, a town. And right here in this little place, God, we thank you that you are here with us, and we are here, we're gathered to worship you, knowing that we were made in your image. We're made for your joy. We're made for your glory. And we turn to you as our almighty creator. And in this moment, we ask that you would give us great wisdom to understand this doctrine that we're going to discover and unpack, the doctrine of justification by faith. Please inform our minds and transform our hearts. Direct our steps as we come hungry to learn from you this very morning. God, thank you for making a way of salvation for those who have sinned directly against you, like people like us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us pause all the distractions in our minds, the constant updates, the pings and the dings of our phones, and help us to put our focus on you. Help us to put our praise on high. Father, I pray that you would captivate us in this very moment. Sanctify our hearts and our minds so that we can hear from you. God, we need you, and we thank you that you are here. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This is the heart of the gospel. And you can turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 through 26. This is the heart of the gospel. And my topic is justification by faith. Justification is, this is one of the doctrines that's one of the most liberating doctrines that we could ever study and understand. And I know that I'm preaching to many of you who have been saints for such a long time, but I tell you one thing, the gospel never gets old. Everyone needs the gospel. And today we're going to narrow in and we're going to examine the very heart of the gospel. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite preachers, he went to be with the Lord several years ago, but he said that this is, these verses that we're about to study, that they are the greatest verses in the entire Bible as it pertains to the gospel. And Martin Luther, as you guys well know, he was used by God to recover this doctrine some 500 years ago and started the Reformation of the church. This really is, it's a watershed moment. We are Protestant because this doctrine is true. John Calvin called this this is the hinge of the gospel. And hinge means our hearts and our understanding of the gospel actually turn with this doctrine. So we understand it or we don't. And the hinge is this, justification by faith. I also think that this doctrine has the possibility to prevent us from becoming what I've heard called the FBI Christians. You know those FBI Christians? It's been said that they are forgiven but intimidated. Because the doctrine of justification won't allow us to be intimidated because we'll actually know why we're justified, how we're justified, and when we know those things, we can explain those things. So if you know it already, this is going to be so encouraging to your soul, and you'll be able to take this, and you'll be able to go home and look yourself in the mirror, and while you're brushing your teeth, it will never be boring again because you will begin preaching the gospel to yourself. That makes every brush exciting. Sure does. I preached this message on the way here, and a car pulled up next to me. I rolled down my windows. He looked over. I'm like, for sure, this guy's loving it. He's going to follow me to church. He got lost on the way here. But this is going to be good. This is the doctrine of justification. So let's dive in to verse 19. Verse 19 through 26, and I'll just read all of this, and then we'll unpack it, and I'm going to give you four headings so this kind of breaks up, and we can situate it properly in our minds. Join me in verse 19 as the Word of God reads. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to that which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. My first heading that I'll lay before you, and these will serve as pillars holding up the main point, justification by faith. The first heading is, it's apart from the law. It's apart from the law. In verse 19, we see, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Now think about this. Who here lives above the law? Do you know anybody? Everybody has to live under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. This is why the law is given. The law is given, and the law serves three purposes. Here's what it does. First, it silences every mouth. Look right there in verse 19. So that every mouth may be silenced. The second thing it does is it makes us accountable to God. Look right there at the verse, the end of 19. So it silences every mouth. There's no more excuses. There's no more idle chatter. The law is so specific and so exact. It's absolute. And it makes the whole world accountable to God. And finally, in verse 21, we'll see the law makes us conscious of our sin. We're aware of our sin. When I think of the law, I think of a mirror. You know, the mirror just does not lie. You know, sometimes you wish it did. After a good night's sleep and that pillow has beat your face up just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't? Well, it's happened to me. And you wake up and I have bags that are so big, I feel like I should be going on a trip with those bags. That mirror does not lie. That mirror shows you the true image. Whether you like it or you don't like it, the law of God shows us exactly where we are. The law of God was not set as our measure to keep. It was our measure to reflect, to see where we truly are. No one has kept this law. And then in verse 21, this is such a great bridge. This bridge, in verse 21, it starts out with, but now. But now. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, praise God for the buts in the Bible. But now. This is a transition from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, all the way to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And the but now is the bridge. So we're bridging from condemnation to justification. What a great bridge. But now, read this with me. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Isn't that a wonderful bridge? Isn't that beautiful to see where we were in Romans chapter 1, where God's wrath is being poured out? In Romans chapter 2, his wrath is being justified. In Romans chapter 3, he's delivering a mirror, and we see no one is righteous, not even one. And now, but now, apart from the law, this statement by Paul announces the righteousness that we desperately need. It cannot come by our attempts to keep the law. Our own efforts won't get us there. You know, when I got saved, I thought that God chose me because something good that I did. I thought I made some great choices, and at the very least, I met God halfway. We met in the middle. He called me, but I chose him, and boy, I was doing some good things. I wanted everyone to know about it, too. I would put my philanthropy on. I wanted everyone to know all of my good deeds. And I thought, God just looked at that, and he said, yeah, that was nice. That was good. Well, that boy, he met me halfway. Oh, he did something. But now, apart from the law, what a big statement. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the old hymn goes, in my hands no price I bring, simply to your cross I cling. We can't add anything to it. This is the death blow to the legalist. You know, those who say, you got to keep this and you got to do this and you got to, and we should do our best to keep the law, but that's not how we are justified. This is the death blow to the legalist, because it's always the gospel plus. And that is what every religion is. It's the gospel plus this. The gospel plus some works. But this mathematical equation that God will lay before us is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Now, you don't have to be an ace in algebra to figure that out. My math tutor told me, you know, you should probably, go to communications. Maybe that would be a better major for you. I got to communications class, and you know what they said? They said, don't talk to your neighbor. I said, this kind of defeats the purpose. But God is communicating to us this is a clear command that it's not by the law. This is apart from the law. It's not the gospel plus Muhammad's teaching. It's not the gospel plus Joseph Smith's teaching. It's not the gospel plus a little bit of penance. It's not the gospel plus baptism. It's the gospel plus nothing. This is justification. This is so freeing that you can't work your way in. You can't be received by God by keeping the law. Oh, this should make you just take a deep breath right now. You don't have to be a legalist anymore. Oh, this will free you to preach the gospel to yourself. And this is glorious. This true gospel, it just annihilates the idea of working your way into heaven. With this one simple thought, you shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. Leviticus 19:2. So we shall be holy. Has anyone been perfectly, completely holy? Well, don't worry. James 2:10, we'll rub that in just a little bit more. Here's a salt for the wound. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point, he's guilty of breaking it all. Ow. I know I'm guilty. I know I need a righteousness that's outside of myself. I know I need justification that's not by me keeping the law because it's something that I can't keep. And all of us have become unclean. Even our righteous acts are like filthy rags, says Isaiah. Justification is apart from the law. And look at the second part of verse 21. Verse 21, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now look at this. This is from Abraham all the way to Malachi. The whole Old Testament. This truth is not new. It's not a secret. The righteousness of Christ has been testified by the prophets who were before. I'm going to read you one from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And Abraham, think about this. He believed the Lord. He believed, believing, and looking forward. Abraham believed before his name was even Abraham. Back when his name was Abram. He believed that long ago. That was a long time ago, guys. This doctrine is not new. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says, in fact, Abraham was justified. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. See, as he believed, believing forward, looking forward to the cross of Christ, knowing that God would provide a sacrifice, God credited it to him as divine righteousness and imputed to his account the righteousness of Christ. And how about David? Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. Is God forgiving and covering sin and not counting against them? How is this? This blew my mind when I first understood this because I thought all the Old Testament saints, I thought that they were saved by keeping the law. But remember, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not even one. They didn't keep it, so they had to make a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to atone for their sins, but it didn't satisfy God's wrath. Not completely, no, because they'd have to make another one and another one. They had to continue to do that all the way leading up to the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, after he had suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Before the cross, we were saved, or they were saved, on credit. After the cross, we are saved on debit. You see, they were believing looking forward. We are believing looking back at the cross, knowing that his righteousness is imputed, it's accounted, it's accredited to our account. This is like having a debit card. A debit card that every time we sin, we pull out the debit card and charge it to the infinite account. It's paid for in full. This one is never funds insufficient. You've never seen that though, have you? It's a scary thing to see. Funds insufficient, that's not a good thing to see. This card will never have insufficient funds because it's funded by the righteousness of Christ. It's always good. You can always pull out that card. You can always use it. You can always go back to it. And let me just ask you, are you trusting in the righteousness of Christ right now? Are you falling into the trap of just adding just a little bit of your own righteousness, hoping that that will make God perceive you and give you a little bit of his favor, just a little bit more? No, you never need to do that again. You can trust completely in the righteousness of Christ. We're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And alone, that phrase just means alone apart from works. There's nothing that we can do to add to our salvation. Christ paid in full. Have you ever sinned and then put yourself on a little, 2448? That's what I call it, 2448, little probationary period where you're just like, I can't believe I did that. You idiot. I'm on probation. 2444, this one, flip a coin. Oh, this one's 48 hours. 2 days, and I'm not going to feel good about this. And I'm just going to stand condemned for these 2 days. You never done that, have you? No? You don't have a crazy mind like me. Okay, but if you ever fall into that trap and you find yourself doing that and you think you just got a probation period, all you have to do is come back to these scriptures and preach this gospel of justification by faith. You go right to the jugular, right to the heart of the gospel, and you say, my justification is found in Christ alone. It is apart from keeping the law. The second pillar that we'll use to hold up this great doctrine is that it's accessed through faith in Christ. It's apart from keeping the law, and it's accessed through faith in Christ. Join me in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Just the first part here, the first part of 22, and it says, the righteousness is given through faith in Christ, Jesus, to all who believe. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ to all who believe. This righteousness, it is given through faith. It's accessed through faith. So what is faith? Everybody on the radio has a new meaning for faith. Faith. Remember when I was growing up, this will date me just a bit, but George Michael sung this terrible song, you gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Oh! It went just like that. You don't remember? And I was like, what was he singing about? Everyone talks about faith, but what is faith? A lot of people talk about faith. They don't know the first thing about faith. Faith, what is faith? Faith is the commitment of all that you are to all that he is. Faith is only as good as its object, right? So if you have faith, you must have faith in Christ. You have faith in and of itself. You have faith in nothing. You have an empty air faith. And I see all these songs, and they're not rooted or grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're singing about nothing. They're singing about absolutely nothing. I was having this conversation about faith. Would you like to talk about faith? This doctrine will help us talk about faith. This doctrine will help us share our faith more accurately. And this doctrine will liberate those who are Christians and those who want to become Christians, because we can explain how we are justified by faith. But I was having this conversation in West Hollywood, right on Sunset Strip at this little hotel, and I had a meeting early in the morning. So I got up. And I brought something that most people in West Hollywood have never seen in their life, and it's called a Bible. Yeah, I tell people, you want to be a rebel in West Hollywood? Oh, all you have to do is carry a Bible. People look at you, they know what it is. This will turn the heads. Not the Ferraris, not the Lamborghinis, those are a dime a dozen, but it's the Bibles that turn people's heads. And I was talking to this guy, he sat right across from me, and he sat facing in, and I was sitting here, and I had my Bible, and I was facing out, And I'm not kidding, every third or fourth person that would come into this hotel would come over and talk to them. And they would do the handshake and the, you know, homie, homie, don't you know me? And it was like, he knew everybody. Everybody was coming in and just talking to him and said, hey, how you doing? Oh, I love that video you produced, and I love this. And I was hearing just tidbits, and okay, he's a producer, and obviously he's tied into the rap music scene, and he's a big deal, and I have no idea who he is, but I'm just sitting there. And as I got up, I was getting ready to leave, and we just caught eyes. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, I'm good. So well, it seems like... you know everybody in town. And he said, nature of the business, you know, I get to know a lot of people. I said, I was wondering if you knew this one guy. He said, yeah, who's that? He said, his name is Jesus Christ. It was one of those mic drop moments. He looked at me and he's like, the words didn't come. He said, I think so. Yeah, yeah. I know Christ. You know Christ. What do you know about him? He goes, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot. And I've been hearing all the conversation. I've been hearing everything that they're talking about, the little tidbits. And I just told him, I said something I said before. If you please Christ, it won't matter who you displease. And if you displease Christ, it won't matter who you please. He looked at me and he said, oh, snap. I'm going to tweet that out to my 300,000 followers right now. Can you say that again? So I repeated it again. He tweeted it out. And then I just told him, I said, look, the road is narrow. The gate is small. There's only a few people who travel on it. Only a few people who travel on the narrow road. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many people travel on it. He said, oh, snap. I'm going to tweet that out, too. Tweeting? Sounds good. But it doesn't mean you're traveling on the narrow road of faith with Christ. Seemed like God was getting a hold of his heart and doing something in him in that very moment. But to have faith means you trust everything. Everything that you are to everything that he is. It means two things, I would say. Renunciation and reliance. You must renunciate that self-dependence, that I am depending on a little bit of my own good works to be received by God. And I'm going to, this is the chair right here. This is the chair of self-dependence. And I'm sitting in this chair. And if I'm going to put my faith in Christ, I must get up out of this chair and move all the way over and sit in this chair, the chair of Christ's righteousness. So I left self-righteousness, and now I'm sitting in the chair of Christ's righteousness. And I'll tell you, faith will move you. Faith will move you to follow Christ. You will take action if you have true and saving faith. Justification, it's apart from the law, and it's accessed through faith. And faith will make you have a mind that wants to please God. A mind that wants to serve God. That's why you showed up here today. Why would you stop your whole weekend and drive all the way up to church early in the morning? It's because you have faith and you want to gather with the body of Christ and you want to worship corporately. This is all actions from faith. From faith. ABCs of faith is acknowledge that we are sinners. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must confess him as my Lord and my Savior. Not just a Lord, but my Lord. That is true and saving faith. And so, let's tweet that out. There you go. I'm not much of a tweeter. I don't know how to do that yet, but somebody does. A lot of people get in trouble for tweeting things out these days, you know? If I just tweeted every little thing on my mind, that would be a terrible thing. I'm going to give myself a 24, 48-hour probationary period on my thoughts before I tweet anything. How about that? Let's go for a little faith finder. You want to go for a faith walk? You ready? Let's go. In verse 25, look back here at our text. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the apostle writes, to be received through faith. At the end of verse 26, he states that the one who is justified is the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 27, he insists justification is received by a law that requires faith. And 28, he affirms, a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. In verse 30, he reinforces this and he says, God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith will not allow us to be continuing to sit on the fence, not trusting in my own righteousness anymore. Enter through the narrow gate. Faith is an action, and by faith we are saved. And this begs the question, do you have faith? I know most of you, so I can stand in agreement that you have faith, but only God truly knows. Do you have faith that you have fully trusted in the righteousness of Christ? It's apart from the law, and it's accessed through faith. Our third pillar that we'll look at today is from Romans chapter 3, verse 22b through 23. And this pillar is titled, Acknowledges No Difference. Justification by faith acknowledges no difference. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is the religious. Jew was the religion of the time. As you well know, they were the only religious people. And the Gentiles were not religious at all. So whether you're religious or irreligious, whether you grew up in the church or you never have been to a church before, whether your dad was a deacon and raised you well or you don't even know who your dad is, there is no difference because we have all sinned against a holy God. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That puts us all in the same boat. Every single one of us. There might be one man and he's in a big boat and it has a big band and it has a big motor. And there's another man and he doesn't even have enough money to buy a motor. So he has to row this boat everywhere he goes. But both boats have the same problem. They're both leaking. They're both going down. And there's only one way to be saved. That's the lifeboat, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes along and he says, there's no difference. It doesn't matter your background or your foreground. It doesn't matter your upbringing. Or it doesn't matter your standing right now, your social status. All that matters is that you've sinned against a holy God. And we're all in the same boat. And we must abandon this vessel and trust our lives to Jesus Christ. It's apart from the law. It's accessed by faith. It acknowledges no difference. Join me in verse 24. But before I go there, I want to ask you, have you ever taken a test and failed it? No, just me. Well, let me tell you what that's like. You're sitting in a class and you say the passing grade is 60. And you go, okay, I hope I get a 60. I'm just going for a 60, maybe 61. Hey, to me, I'm not trying to get an A. It's just, it's, you know, it's like a profit and loss sheet. You know, it's black or red. Pass or fail. Come on, just get me in. I get my score, and I look at it, and I got a 40. Oh, doggone it. But you get your score and you're kind of excited because you know what you got? You got a 45. Hey, so do you look at me and you say, ha, you know what? You got to tighten it up just a little bit. Hey, you know, you're doing okay, but golly, you know, just tighten it up and next thing you're going to be like me and doing a little bit better. No, there's no difference. There's no difference. We all failed the test. Every single one of us, that's why we're in the same boat, because every single one of us got a failing grade. None of us met the righteous, perfect standard of Jesus Christ. So rather than compare to others and try to find people who are not quite as good as us, maybe just a little bit bigger sinners than we are, and we compare to them so I feel better about myself, rather than do that, rather than compare, confess. Agree with God. I have broken your law. I have broken your law, and I'm in need of your righteousness. This is so freeing because we don't have to hide our sin anymore. We don't have to act like we didn't do it. Give the Heisman to our sin. No, we say, you know what? I did that. And that was so disgusting. It offended God. But my God is so good that he forgave me of even that. And he'll forgive you too. It's such a great way to express humility when you're sharing the gospel, because we're all in the same boat. We're all rowing together, and there's only one lifeboat. So join me in verse 24 as we continue. It says, we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came in Jesus Christ. This again is bridging a gap. From verse 23 going to verse 24, I feel like that should be a different paragraph on a different page, right? You've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, to all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came in Jesus. These verses could not be more contrasting. We go from an absolute personal indictment of our deserved condemnation to our undeserved, unearned, unmerited justification by faith. What a great gift! What a great God. Isn't it amazing to think what he has done for us? We went from indicted to justified, from condemnation to redemption. We went from deserving the wages of sin to receiving the grace of our Savior. What a contrast, all bridged by what God has called justification by faith. This is justification by faith. And redemption, and we think about redemption, this means the payment of a ransom in order to secure the release of the one who's held captive. Think about that. Jesus paid the ransom. He paid it. And in this phrase, we see again, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's all there in verse 24. And then in verse 25, he says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. You see, verse 25 is about the past. Verse 26 is about the present. Verse 25 has that phrase, a sacrifice of atonement. Sacrifice of atonement, in the NASB, it's called propitiation. And propitiation just means an appeasement, a satisfaction. And that word atonement, or that word propitiation, it serves two purposes. One, towards the believers, it paid our sins. And two, towards God, it satisfied his wrath towards sin. So in one hand, our sins are paid for. In another hand, God's wrath towards sin is completely satisfied. He propitiated our sins. The death of Christ, it bought us. It bought us out of slavery. Jesus Christ came down and he went to the slave market of sin and he said, you, I'm buying you back. I am buying each believer out of the slave market of sin, and now you have become a son of the King. Now you are to serve the King, no longer to serve ourselves, serve our own self-righteousness, or even serve our sin. But now we serve a great Savior. And oh, what a great Savior we have. Think about what God saved me from. It's just mind-boggling. And just, I just get worked up when I think about that. Because I know the wrestling and the unsettling of the heart for those who are not saved. You're convicted, you're condemned, but you're not redeemed and you don't know how. And that's why we must take this message, this perfect gospel, the heart of the gospel. We must preach it to ourselves and we must share it with other people. It's even fun to have a Bible study and share this with other believers, to liberate ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. And you see, God demanded a perfect standard. And God supplied what he demanded, because only God could supply what he demanded. There's no one who could meet that standard, and so Jesus Christ did that. And we are justified, which is it's a declaration. It's a legal term, meaning that we have been completely, entirely paid for. We have been declared righteous. That's what justification means, declared righteous. And I'll tell you what, if God declares you righteous, there's no one who can take that away. Justification has three parts. First, it's immediate. It takes place the instant that you become a believer. Second, it's complete. You'll never be more justified than the second that you trusted in Jesus Christ. And final, it's permanent. There's no higher court that will overrule this declaration that was made by God in heaven. So you can have confidence in your justification. He is just and the justifier. Those words just collide. They do not go to... How can you be just, which is being a faithful and righteous judge? One who will punish every sin in hell, because that's what he promised to do. That was his law that he had laid forth. How can you be just and justify sinners? And justifier, how can he be the justifier? Because he provided the substitute, the substitutionary atonement for our sins, that your sins had been paid in full. They're completely paid for. This should make us rejoice. There is no better news on the entire planet. Everything else that we will ever hear is secondary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our justification, it is apart from the law. It is accessed through faith. It is acknowledging no difference. And it's accomplished by God's grace. It's accomplished by God's grace. And just by way of application, that we could all leave here and have something to do with this great and lofty doctrine, that we would go and preach the gospel to yourself. That's our application, is to preach the gospel to yourself. And I encourage you and I challenge you to do this today. Jiu-jitsu your own sin. Do you remember what jiu-jitsu is? Jiu-jitsu is the greatest martial art because jiu-jitsu can use the weight and the strength of your opponent against them. Now, I don't know how it works, but I've seen it in action. Little dudes like this throwing big dudes to the mat. It can happen. And the weight of our sin, we shall jiu-jitsu it and throw it to the mat. Don't throw yourself down. You could get hurt. Throw your sin down. And how do you do that? You don't hide from it. You acknowledge that you have actually sinned. Say, I did it. I can't believe I did it, but I'm not going into a 24, 48-hour probationary period. No, because I'm not trusting in my own righteousness. No, I did it, and my God is so good that he forgave me for it. And Father, I thank you. I thank you right now that your justification, it is apart from the law. It is accessed through faith. It acknowledges no difference, and it's accomplished by his grace. You can take those points and you can preach the gospel to yourself. You're going to deal with two courts. Consistently dealing in our mind with these two courts. You deal with the court of God in heaven, and you deal with the court of your conscience in your soul. Our conscience are continually convicting us, and that's why we feel guilty. Sin always rolls with the twins. Guilt and shame always brings them together. So when we do sin, then we become feeling guilty. We feel that shame. We feel that remorse. But we don't want to hang on to those things. We want it to drive us. So you actually use the weight of sin against it. So rather than embracing the guilt, you let it drive you to preach the gospel to yourself. This is when things get exciting. You can't hang on to any more guilt. No more guilt can cling to you. No more shame can hold onto your name. You just confess and believe, and then you preach Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. You went from condemnation to justification. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great and lofty doctrine. God, I thank you that we get to study your word and be liberated by the truth of your scriptures. God, I thank you that it's you and by your finished work on the cross that we are justified. God, I pray that you would completely remove the guilt and shame that we have carried from trying to even keep the law. God, I pray that we would be even more faithful, that our faith would lead to great action, that we would preach this gospel to ourselves, encouraging our own souls every day. And God, I pray that you give us boldness to preach this gospel to other people that we come in contact with. God, I thank you that you acknowledge no difference. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter where we came up, where we were brought up. What matters is that you have made a way for sinners like us to be forgiven. It is accomplished by your grace. So, Father, we give you glory. We praise your powerful and precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.